Chapter 11, Christmas Eve Night. Susan's immediate family, Harry, and the kids talked to the magical house visitors as the hours passed. Susan had explained the circumstances of the evening to Rose, Caitlin, and Victor. As predicted, Caitlin questioned Susan why their parents hadn't come to the house for a visit. When Susan explained a grieving period, Caitlin immediately pointed out Doris's presence, who had just passed weeks before. Also, Lindsay wasn't even at the house to take advantage of her recently deceased mother's surprise visit. Susan reminded the kids that Doris was also a friend to their family and was visiting for that reason and not necessarily to see Lindsay. It was nearing midnight on Christmas Eve, and Martha suggested that the guests gather around the Christmas tree to sing Silent Night. As the guests made their way to the family room, suddenly Max began to bark. He ran to the back door leading to the garage. His tail wagged nonstop as he jumped at the door as it slowly opened. "Max, get down, buddy. It's just me," said Lindsay as she entered the mudroom. "Lindsay, we were so worried about you. Are you all right?" asked Caitlin.
"Yes, I'm fine. I-80 and I-5 are both closed going west to Omaha, so I had to stop and turn around. I thought of getting a hotel room, but decided to come back instead," Lindsay replied.
"Lindsay, I'm so glad you made it back safely," said Victor as he wrapped his arms around her. "How far did you get, Iowa?"
"Iowa? Are you kidding? I didn't even get to Ottawa. The roads are terrible," responded Lindsay.
"Oh my God, it took you 8 hours to get 100 miles. That's 3 times as long as it should have taken. The roads must be terrible. I'm glad you decided to come back. We were all calling you but kept getting sent directly to your voicemail. We were very worried, Lindsay," said Harry.
"I'm sorry for worrying you. My mother would have been so worried. I'm glad I didn't have to put her through that," said Lindsay as she took her coat off and sat down to take off her boots.
"Speaking of your mother, while you're sitting down, there is something you need to know," said Harry.
"Oh, just let her be surprised like the rest of you," said Doris as she walked into the mudroom area.
"Mom? Mom, is that you? How can this be? What's going on here?" asked Lindsay as she started to cry.
"Yes, Lindsay, it's me. Calm down, honey. I came to see you and your friends for Christmas," replied Doris.
Lindsay stood up, rushed to her mother's arms, and began to shudder as they embraced.
"Mom, you look great. You look like you did before the cancer took hold of your body and soul," said Lindsay.
"My body, yes. My soul, never. I am free of that disease, and this is the best I felt in years," replied Doris.
"Someone needs to tell me what's going on here. Am I dreaming? Am I dead?" asked Lindsay.
"Why do people, including yourself, keep thinking you are dead? You are far from it, my dear," asked Martha.
"Lindsay, this is Martha Kennedy. Before she sold it to the Carter, she owned this home, who then sold it to us. She can explain what's happening here best. It's quite a story," said Harry.
"Mom, will you stay with me?" asked Lindsay.
"Of course, Lindsay, but I will have to fight Max for some space next to you. My, that dog loves you so," Doris replied.
"And I love him too, right, Max?" Lindsay said as Max snuggled up and smiled at her.
Martha sat down as the rest of the family retreated into the family room. As Martha explained to Lindsay the house's magical abilities, she could hear the other guests sing Silent Night. As Lindsay listened to Martha intently, her head slowly lowered and came to rest on her mother's shoulder.
Max laid his head on Lindsay's lap and let out a long sigh of content.
As Max drifted off to sleep,
Martha concluded her explanation of the magical house and left Doris and Lindsay to talk privately. Susan and Harry were overwhelmed, surrounded by over 70 people. The majority were deceased singing Christmas carols around a beautifully decorated tree, as if it were just another Christmas, but alas, it was not. They were still trying to wrap their heads around the situation when Susan noticed Rose, fast asleep on Grandma Marilyn's lap.
"Looks like you're catching up on some lost time with your granddaughter, Mom," said Susan as she sat next to Marilyn.
"She is a beautiful child. She was only a baby when I died. I doubt that she even remembers me," said Marilyn as she stroked the red locks on Rose's head.
"She remembers you, Mom. She was very sad when you passed, as was I. It was so nice to talk to you and hold you once again," said Susan.
"You and Harry are doing a great job with the kids, Susan. Karen knew how you felt about children and not wanting any of your own, yet she left them in your care regardless. She was either trusting her gut or trying to piss you off," said Marilyn.
Susan just smiled. "Probably a little bit of both, Mom.
Do you see Karen and Rick in heaven?"
"Your father and I escorted them to their hearing when they arrived from Earth, but that was the last time we saw them. We don't know if they were condemned to hell or placed in purgatory," Marilyn said.
Martha said that both Karen and Rick broke or intended to break some of God's commandments, so they were being scrutinized for their actions, Marilyn said.
Karen was having an affair with a married man. Rick had driven her to the brink of divorce with his drinking and fits of violence, so she sought solace in the arms of another.
"Thou shalt not commit adultery," I believe is the commandment, stated Marilyn.
"Wow, Karen never shared that with me. I thought we had no secrets. Who was the man she was seeing?" asked Susan.
"I don't know much about him. His name is Esteban. He was Spanish. Could have passed for Victor's father," said Marilyn.
"Maybe he was Victor's father. That's why they met and fell in love. This is so crazy," exclaimed Susan.
"No, this man was only in his early 20s. He couldn't have been Victor's father. He just looked the part. Tall, dark, and handsome," replied Marilyn.
20s? Way to go, sis, robbing the cradle," said Susan with a smirk.
"He divorced his wife shortly after Karen and Rick died in the car crash. Guess he truly did love Karen," said Marilyn.
"Speaking of the car crash, since you spirits seem to know everything that goes on down here on Earth, did Rick intentionally crash into the oncoming car to kill Karen?"
"Not that I'm aware of. The cars crossed the center line and crashed into each other. It was one of those few times when Rick was not driving drunk," said Marilyn.
"Well, that's good to know. Did you know Rick was planning on killing Karen?" asked Susan.
"It's not like he had a detailed plan in mind. He simply stated if Karen were to divorce him and try to take the kids, he would kill her," replied Marilyn.
"Sounds like you're defending Rick, Mom," implied Susan.
"People make idle threats all the time. I'm going to kill you, or I'll get you for this. Seldom do they actually carry out a threat in anger," said Marilyn.
"Karen was so convinced that Rick would kill her, she felt compelled to send me a letter stating such," said Susan.
"I just don't think Rick, unless totally intoxicated at the time, would ever harm Karen or the kids," said Marilyn as she moved a sleeping Rose off her lap onto the couch.
"Well, Karen believed he would. Did Rick know Karen was having an affair?" asked Susan.
"He had his suspicions, but nothing concrete. He never caught them together or overheard a phone conversation between the two," replied Marilyn.
"Karen was convinced that Rick was going to kill her," said Susan.
"At least she could have the kids stay with you and Harry. How has that been going?"
"At first it was tough. Harry and I had to uproot our lives to accommodate the kids. Caitlin and Victor were resentful and would not listen to us. We were at a loss, but then we found this house and everything changed.
We didn't expect this Christmas Eve magic, but maybe it was meant to be, said Susan. Susan and her mother continued to talk as Rose slept soundly between them. It was nearing 1 a.m., and guests were beginning to settle in for the night as they claimed their comfy chair or sofa if available. Some were lucky enough to secure a guest room. Another family has experienced the perplexing phenomenon of the dead returning to life, bestowed upon only a select few. The Hills and their extended family now joined the Carters and Martha Kennedy as they reacquainted with loved ones lost throughout the years. Parents, grandparents, friends, relatives of all ages, and even a dog or two are granted life once again, if only for a day. As they slumber, they ponder what will happen as Christmas Day unfolds. Silence falls over the house. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.